Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. It is very nice to have you with us for this 10th day of September. Let me introduce our panel to you. First and foremost, WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Certainly not foremost. Maybe
well,
first in your
first,
list.
First in my list, but you are heading the roundtable.
How
well,
can you head a round
yeah,
table?
Right.
Well,
oh, that
round.
Was cute.
Mm. Say thank you. Political consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning,
Libby.
Very nice to have you with us. And
Bringing up
Albany.
The rear.
Oh,
would be
stop
your expression.
It.
I said.
No, University stop. At Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Thank you very much. I don't think I've ever said that expression.
Yeah, really. I don't think so either, and I don't think it's one we want to say on the air.
But thank you. Rosemary Armeo, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here as always. So let us talk about what is going on in the world, and we'll begin with primary news, and let us begin with the New York State primary. And what happened here, obviously, we expected this. We talked about this at great length. The governor of New York was expected to win. The question was, right up until the primary, was what percentage is his primary opponent, Zephyr Teachout, going to come in at? We learned the answer to that. It was 35%. And the question now is, and I don't know how much we can read into this.
The answer,
is, what
my
is,
friend.
Is what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it means a lot. It means a lot. I mean, you know, actually, the number is, it's 35%. But if you add the comedian who was on there too, about 3% or
4%.
Yeah, that makes it 40%. That makes it 40%.
Right.
That means, you know, 4 out of 10 don't like what he's doing, and it's not good.
4 out of 10 registered Democratic voters.
Yeah. Now, and of course, it was a very low turnout. Now, that's important. On the other hand, these are the people who generally have something to say because they know something about what's going on. I was just talking to Libby as we came in about the results. If you take a look at where Teachout did very well, including most of our area, the Hudson Valley, the Albany, the Schenectady, she won.
Oh, she won big.
And
she won
60%.
Big. Mm-hmm.
If you take, let me just divert and say to you that in one of Arlo Guthrie's records, a very good record, he explained where the 18 minutes went from the famous Nixon tapes that were
right.
missing.
With the pictures
and
the
got,
arrows
he,
in the back
got,
of each one.
He got invited to the White House. And he realized that Alice's restaurant was exactly 18 minutes. So he concluded that he was the one who caused he was the one who caused, you know, Nixon everything. The interesting thing here is that you took an overlay of the WAMC
listening
area. Teachout did extremely well. Now, I'm not taking any making any claims that that's because I think it may be because the public radio station in the region, if I can say so, really did try very hard to do both sides of this race. We certainly have always invited Andrew Cuomo on. He has chosen to not talk to not only us but most people, and she did. She came on. She twice. She was statewide from right here at the you know on the Capitol Connection. Tim Wu came in and did an hour with us one day. That's what democracy is all about.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about this whole story is that you know, $35 million. We got all the $35 million from the rich people, and we're going to, you know, we'll buy what we need, and we'll do it the professional way. And then up comes this obscure woman and who decides that, you know, no, democracy always gives people a choice, or when democracy should give people a choice. And she gets in there, and she does her thing.
We're concentrating rightly on what this means for and about Cuomo, but two other points I would make is one is shame on you New Yorkers for not voting. The turnout was not just very low, it was pitiful. That's just ridiculous that we don't vote. And we also don't pay attention to the issues that I think Zephyr was trying to call to our attention, fracking and the need for reform, reneging on promises of reform, treatment of workers, treatment of the common person in the party. These were not big vote-getting strategies. And the other thing is that Zephyr Teachout emerged as and a very, very attractive candidate, another Elizabeth Warren. And I hope that this was not just something that she did to make a point, which she did very well this time, but that she'll go and run again and actually run for something.
You know her very well. And I was going to ask you about that. You know, is that something that you think might happen?
Might be another
group that emerges out of all of this?
I hope that that is true. I think she did. She had a great time. You could tell in every one of her appearances that she was enjoying it and doing very well at it. She won a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see her do it. She'd be a great public servant.
She had the best. Her speech last night was a victory speech.
Yes,
it was for a woman who got 34% of the vote in any other race. I think you would look at it and say, "Oh, okay."
But she should have gotten 10.
But she looked at it the right way, and I think it's.
Did you see the video of her trying to say hello to Mario Cuomo Andrew Cuomo at the Labor Day speech?
It was offensive.
It was very
the
offensive.
The right thing for him to do was to have been a man
and move on. He
did give her good words in his victory speech today, talking about her spirited campaign and letting her voice be heard. When you're going to win big, you can be gracious. Right. And so she pointed that out about our governor.
Gary wrote from Ulster County. He says, in Ulster County, Teachout had more than a 2-1 lead over Cuomo. She received just under 70% of the votes. Is that possible? 70% of the votes.
She got 60%
compared
here.
To Cuomo's 27%.
Right. You know, what this shows is that this progressive base that we've always known has been here in New York, that we are a little bit to the left and sometimes mm-hmm. even more to the left. The fact that she was able to have such a good showing, and it could have been closer to 40 if the other guy wasn't in the race, shows that there really is this sense that there's a growing progressive movement in New York. Being in the pocket of big business is not what New Yorkers want. You know, upstate, that's not what people want. This whole corridor went for him.
Went for her.
Out, you know, Erie County, they went for Cuomo and Hochul because that's her hometown, and down in New York. And I was in New York last week, and nobody knew anything about the primary whatsoever.
No, I think that's the issue.
You know, but it just shows that there is this solid progressive base in New York, and it needs to be grown.
They have a different public radio station
in New York.
Yes, they do. And they don't do this kind of muckraking.
I don't think they do.
Like we do.
You know, I live over in Massachusetts, as you know, and the paper this morning had an interesting thing. The paper that I write for, by way of disclosure, the Berkshire Eagle, the editorial was interesting. It said, you know, the message was, if you endorse the wrong person, then they may get even with you later on.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of stupid. Not that the editorial was stupid or the editorial writer, but that kind of thinking is very dangerous to me, which is you better go along, otherwise you're going to get punished. Otherwise you're going to get punished.
Well, that's
like
what
Bill de Blasio you're talking about.
This is actually the Berkshire Eagle.
Right,
but this is what they did in New York.
Well, they did something to de Blasio. I don't know. I can't get it.
They did something to him?
I don't understand de Blasio. He was shamed by this governor here in the Capitol. He gets up and he goes after him on the charter school thing. You remember that? And the pre-K gave him a whole hard time. He finally comes around and does it all. And de Blasio, at every single moment, supports Cuomo. So
it's
what
called
is,
money and power.
Well, I suppose, you know, I know some of the de Blasio staff, they know what the story is here. Yeah. So it's interesting that somehow one and one seems to make two.
Let me ask a question on something Libby was talking about the growing progressive movement in the state. I mean, I moved into Washington County, New York. In the Jerry Solomon years,
right.
In 1985, so almost 30 years ago. And if you would have told me then that Zephyr Teachout,
right,
a progressive candidate, would have received 65% of the vote in this county, I would have been...
But it's 65% of the Democratic vote.
Well,
and
right,
a small part of it.
However, yeah. You know, this is also a county that... This is also a county that did... We voted for Obama twice. I mean, there's a there's definitely a changing demographic.
It's getting it's getting bluer and bluer and bluer. No question.
I worked for Ed Block.
Yes.
Who just died of blessed memory. And he ran against Jerry Solomon.
Yep.
I think 84 and 86.
86.
And he did it 84,
twice. Yeah, 84 and 86.
84
right.
and 86. And it was the biggest uphill battle on the planet, you know? I mean, we made Jerry spend a lot of money because we just kept churning out press releases, and that was in the day where they would actually take the press releases and run them, and you know, in the weeklies, because they had nothing else to do.
Oh, the good old days.
You know,
well,
the good old days.
You mean they have something else to do now?
Yeah, well, they might. I don't know. But anyway, you know, we just made him spend a lot of money, but, you know, it was impossible to get a foothold in that district, and that's Kirsten Gillibrand's old district. It's now Chris Gibson's old district. We'll
Part
see what
it.
Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, you know, in November if Sean Eldredge can pull this out. But there is this growing progressive sense in New York, and it's great.
Well, you know, again, over in Great Barrington, where I live, in the southern Berkshires, there was always an expectation that the whole thing was going to be Republican. We had a Republican assemblyman, we had a Republican congressman, and that has changed also. Now it is, you know, it's really, really over there.
So I do want to...
I was just curious, what did you think about Coakley winning?
Well, I think, look, the entire Democratic establishment endorsed Steve Grossman.
Yeah.
Former Democratic chairman, I know, of Massachusetts, and I think nationally also. At their convention, the nominating convention, basically they were saying, look, we don't want to have what happened between Coakley and Scott Brown happen again.
Right.
And she ran an insipid campaign then, and we think she's going to run an insipid campaign again, which she is. So if you've ever heard her speak, you really wonder what this is all about. She needs some significant coaching, in my opinion. I think she's a good person, but I think what ran against Grossman more than anything else was the idea that we are sick and tired of the Democratic establishment telling us what to do, which is why in Massachusetts, they often vote for Republicans for governor in the bluest of blue states, because there comes a point when people turn around and say, they hold their noses and say, no, you're not going to do this. We are not going to give you carte blanche to nominate anybody you want. But, and we're going to show you.
But she was the party pick a few years ago.
No, not a few years ago, but not this time.
Yeah, but she was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember talking to a major Democratic figure who I am not going to name here because it was a personal campaign and a conversation. And I said to him, you know, is she going to win? And he says, we're going to have to work very hard to get her through. So they all knew, even then in that Senate campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was disgraceful that she lost. That was an important seat to lose. So some resentment doesn't seem out of off base.
You know what, Rosemary? I don't think it's only resentment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fear that she's going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And when Martha Coakley walks out with Governor Patrick
and
in her victory speech last night, I mean, this is a very popular governor,
and
certainly that doesn't hurt in this case.
Well, the question is popularity transferable?
Right.
You know, you are exactly right. I mean, I truly love this man, truly, Deval Patrick. I think he is fabulous. I hope that someday we see him as president, or at least vice president, which he says he doesn't want to do. But he's a brain. He's incredibly smart. But whether or not the fact that he walks out with her is transferable, I don't know.
Yeah. Gave a lot of support. I do want to talk. We just have a couple of minutes, and we can certainly go on the other side of the break. But we talked a lot about 2 weeks ago about Tim Wu. About the whole scenario, the woo scenario, if you will.
That's over.
Wooing the voters.
Right, wooing the voters. Of that that he could potentially eclipse Kathy Hochul in the lieutenant governor race. She Received 60% of the vote, and he received 40% of the vote, which was higher than what Zephyr Teachout received. However,
but without competition,
without competition, right. And also not and not not exactly what people were
expecting.
And I just any thought. Meaning, was it more tied to Zephyr Teachout than it was to aiming it toward the governor or to Hochul?
I think Wu was entirely unknown. I mean, Teachout. I mean, Zephyr Teachout. There's a name for you. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And she really did lead the way, but he did better than she did because she wasn't running against a guy named Cuomo. You know, the Cuomo name in New York still means a great deal, you know, I think Wu did extraordinarily well. 40% is unbelievable.
But he won less counties than she did.
Interesting.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
She won more counties. She won the ones from like the Mid Hudson Valley and bridge over to almost the southern tier in central New York.
Yeah.
She did, and he just won a few in like
Yates, Schuyler, yeah, Tompkins, and Cortland.
Right, yeah. Where Cornell
is. Okay, I'm going to make a major admission now.
Okay, fine. You don't know where any of this is.
No, I do. I do. I walked into the firehouse where I voted yesterday, and there was this long list. I certainly knew what I was going to do in the Democratic primary, and I took a Democratic ballot. I could, over there, it's a good place. You could take either Democratic, Republican ballot. But in terms of some of those other races, I had no clue.
No.
I'll be honest with you, no clue at all. And I think that may have been an operative with Tim Wu also.
Probably. And we had it here in Albany County, where you walked in and you had these long lists of people running for Supreme
right.
Court delegate.
And I had to look for his name.
And you
for that
have
race.
To bring the list with you. You know,
and that's accidentally on purpose.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding. It is.
I'm not sure why Wu would have been considered a more attractive candidate in upstate New York than Kathy. I never understood that. He's an intellectual. His area of expertise is high tech technology
right.
and computers.
We just have about
he
10
has a
seconds,
minority
but...
name.
He wasn't running against somebody named Cuomo. So
net neutrality.
So
right. And he got the New York Times endorsement.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about this and other topics, and we welcome your calls. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Mayo, Libby Post, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We've spent a good portion of this morning, if not all this morning, in our panel discussion talking about the primary yesterday. And we got a lot of letters on that.
Oh.
Didn't we, Alan?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's called vamping until ready.
Yes.
Okay. So Jim says, I'm a PEF retiree, that's Public Employees Federation. I wonder how Cuomo will take his revenge against PEF for our endorsement of Teach Out, and that's from Jim.
Scary.
Fran says, I think many people voted for Wu, but not for Teach Out because they do not think Teach Out is qualified to be governor of New York, but wanted to send a message to Governor Cuomo that he should stop taking Republican positions on issues important to Democrats. I know several people who took that tack. It also matches the New York Times endorsement of Wu, but staying neutral in the governor's slot. I will say, though, that when you say to Andrew Cuomo, we're not going to endorse you, that's a pretty heavy slap,
right.
I'll tell you right now. Okay. Then Ellen says, regarding Wu leads, Wu carried not just Yates, etc., but also Columbia County with over 75% of the vote, as did Teach Out over Cuomo. Now, I must say, folks, I'm reading your letters, but I'm hoping you're right.
In Columbia County.
In Columbia County, Wu got 77.4% of the vote.
Wow.
Kathy Hochul got 22.6%
wow.
of the vote.
Wow, that's terrific. Okay, I mean, that's terrific that you could give us the information. I didn't mean I was endorsing it.
The
results, not much. Okay, and then. Katie says, oh boy, it's a little too long. I thought Andrew Cuomo's comments about Teach Out's campaign today were rather patronizing and condescending, referring to her, quote, spirited campaign. Sounds like she's a silly girl trying to play with the big boys. Well, I didn't get that. I think his assistants told him, you know, come on, Andrew.
They should have told him that a long time ago. He should have handled it that way all
right.
along.
Kind of. I like Cuomo prior to this. However, as a progressive, I've become accustomed to being thrown a few crumbs by my own candidates. No longer. I hope Bernie Sanders runs for president. And as at a party, we take some tips from the Tea Party playbook and start losing some battles in order to win the war for progressive policies. Christopher says, working families and de Blasio screwed the primary. If they're worth their progressive stripes, they need to endorse third-party campaign behind Teach Out at Woo in November. Too late for that.
Do you agree with that, Libby?
Well, I
well, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late, but I think that this whole thing has damaged the credibility of the Working Families Party, I think de Blasio needs to reassert his progressive creds in order not to be totally tainted.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, as I said before, and I'm going to say again, I just don't understand why de Blasio is knuckling under to Cuomo. I just don't get it, because they have very different views on the way things are, and that's why he has so much credibility when he does move in to save Cuomo.
Except that power...
Yeah, it
does.
You
know, power is power, and certain people play power the same way.
Yeah. Okay, and that was from Christopher. Ted says, I agree with much of your criticism regarding Cuomo, but based on the commentary of the 60% of registered voters who voted for Cuomo and their opinions don't count. Will WNC provide any editorial support for our Democratic governor during the coming election against his opponent, or do we want this Republican to win? Alan, this is not a dig or a shot. Let me tell you, Ted, we will have issued, as we always do, we don't do endorsements, and we will have, as we have always done, ask Andrew Cuomo to come on. We will ask, Estorino to come on, and we will give both sides
a
chance
debate.
To do it.
You should offer a debate.
We will do it. We've done it before. We've made that offer. We will do it again. I think the implied commentary here, Ted, is misplaced. Okay. Anyway.
Although he does bring up an interesting point, is, do you think Cuomo will debate Astorino?
No. The Cuomo playbook, which I think bit him in the behind this time, is that if you refuse to debate, why give the person who is less known, who doesn't have $35 million in the bank to spend, why give them a chance? By the way, Papa Cuomo, Mario, who I admire so much, did the same thing, basically. He said, I'll debate you, but all the minor party candidates
have to be
in the debate. Pataki said no and won. So this is dangerous stuff when you look to what's the right word? Slimy? I don't know. When you look to whatever.
Ride both sides of the... Or
no, when you look like you're playing it professionally. We don't like that. We think debates, all of us think debates are
important. Well, superiority,
important.
Is that it?
Yeah, are important. He's playing it the safe way. And, you know, that's not...
And it just adds to people's cynicism about politics.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. Let's see here. All in Boston. Okay. Jeannie says, hello, folks. The New York Times published a county-by-county map showing the vote tallies of Andrew Cuomo's effort Teach Out, and the results should give our governor pause. And I wonder how different this map would have been if New York City mayor and some labor groups had backed Teach Out. And Hayes says, I notice that on a county-by-county basis, Teach Out won 30 counties, Cuomo won 32. That's actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Wu did not do as well as I thought he would in general or even county by county. Wu won 26 and Huckle won 36. I find the whole thing quite interesting, but of course Wu did got a bigger percentage than Teach Out did. And Matthew says, whoa, I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. Okay.
She even won in Putnam County.
Yeah.
Which is even conservative for the Democrats who live there.
Okay, and Chuck says, Joe, Alan, and crew, bravo, WMC does it again. My friend Ken Lovett said it. Alan made sure that the message got out, and I will now open my checkbook to the station. As a Democrat among Republicans, I say, hope Governor Cuomo takes heed to the message. There's that. And let's see, I think we read this one. And Gary also checked in before, so he only gets one. Okay. Very good.
Okay, so I'm just looking at this map, the county by county.
Yeah.
Hamilton County, okay, she won, but it was 78 votes to 66.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that talks about the low voter turnout, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about other issues, and we'll have a lightning round. You did that yesterday on Vox Pop. You had a lightning round.
A lightning round at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
For like 1 minute and just go.
That guy was terrific.
He was a really great guest.
Yeah, we had
a defense expert. Or,
yeah, Malcolm. He was very good.
Whoever he was.
Yeah. No, he was terrific. He was really terrific, and he knew all about what was going on, you know, in the Mideast, and he had been an operative there himself.
Lynn told me about that.
Yeah, he was sensational.
Yeah.
It's just my mind. It's
really, really good, very good stuff. Malcolm Nance was our guest yesterday.
Thank you. Joe Nance.
Yes, mm-hmm. Malcolm Nance.
Excellent that you could check that.
Thank you.
he's unbelievable. You know, they're great guitar players and banjo players, and they can scrugs pick and they can do this and that. Joe can do that with one of these iPads. It's unbelievable.
Actually, he's got a book.
Yeah, I got a, he's got a master control.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's just good. I couldn't do that.
We are going to take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll enter a lightning round, and we'll get to all of these issues, and we'll talk about stuff really quickly. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from New York Pain Management. Doctors Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung, offering management of chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting in Clifton Park and Glens Falls, 518-371-0777. Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives, flavors such as pumpkin pie and banana chip, available at Adams Faker Farms, Whole Foods, and other specialty grocers, AdirondackCreamery.com. And the Clark Art Institute, presenting Radical Words, From Magna Carta to the Constitution, exhibiting original documents, including the Magna Carta, Declaration of Independence, Emancipation Proclamation, and more, clarkart.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel, and we're going to just follow up real quick on some last-minute letters, and then we'll get to the other topics. Right?
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Cyan says, considering the statistical facts and vote counts of the recent primary, perhaps the time is right for a write-in campaign for Zephyr Teachout in the general election in November. And then he goes on to other times when this has worked, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long. Our friend Sid Smithers up from the Hill says, he said, the word I was looking for was diminish the opponent. Chris says, why did Cuomo lose out by not debating Teachout? I think he won. He did not want Teachout to have a broader stage. I think we said that. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that was the whole point. Perhaps you didn't get that part of it, but it's great. And let's see. I think that's it. Is that? No.
Yeah, that's what I, well.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's it.
Let's go to our lightning round and talk about, we'll try to get three topics, if not four, in the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
Great. Let's do it.
President Obama is going to speak to the nation tonight in a primetime address. He is prepared to authorize airstrikes in Syria, according to a senior administration official, taking the military campaign against the Sunni militant group, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, into new and unpredictable terrain. But the president is still wrestling with a series of challenges, including how to train and equip a viable group force to fight ISIS inside Syria, how to intervene without aiding the president, and how to enlist potentially reluctant partners like Turkey and Saudi Arabia. People briefed on the president's plan described a long-term campaign far more complex than the targeted strikes the U.S. has used against al-Qaeda in Yemen, Pakistan, and elsewhere. What do we expect from the president tonight?
a strategy, the one he told us the other day he didn't have yet. It sounds like he's been working on it, sadly needed it. I wish we had followed Hillary's advice and taken care, taken action in Syria long before now, but better now than never.
Alan.
Well, you know, I think, again, the dichotomy is between politics and his basic philosophy. I think politics demands what was just said by Rosemary, which is that you seem definitive, you know what you're doing, and you're going to do something about it. Whether or not it can work is another whole story. I've been watching the Ken Burns pre-watching the Ken Burns, the Roosevelts, which is the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. And, you know, FDR struggled with the same sort of stuff. He knew what we had to do. He was afraid to do it because he knew he would lose the American people. It was not that long after World War One. They didn't want to go into another. So you can see all of these parallels. So, you know, but whether or not we can win anything by targeted airplane stuff is another whole story.
Libby Post.
Well, I just think that this is a time for Congress not to play politics with our foreign policy. And they, you know, they were like, oh, we're not going to vote, but we're going to let them do it. Or, you know, we'll authorize this because we've got to keep the government running and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is just one of those times where we need to put the partisan politics aside and do what's right to protect our future.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but that ain't real politics.
I know.
There's no good solution in Syria. Unlike FDR, he has a much harder situation here. But he backed down once, and it's worse. And Syria's a mess, and now so is Iraq as well, and action is needed.
You know, but how do you fight people who are willing to die for the promise of 75 Vestal Virgins? I mean, that's the thing. They are all
willing.
That's
the point that Malcolm Nance made yesterday.
They're all willing to give up their lives.
Well, they're not all willing.
No, but I think Libby's right. This expert who Malcolm Nance, who was so good yesterday, said you have to understand that they talk to each other and they say, "What day do you think you'll die on?"
Right.
And it's not as if it's a terrible thing. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, issue number two. We go to a very interesting article in the New York Times this morning about mostly white forces in mostly black towns. Police struggle for racial diversity. They have taken a look at the numbers, and nationwide, the total number of minority police officers has risen, but they remain heavily concentrated in larger cities, with the numbers falling off sharply in smaller ones, especially like towns like Ferguson, where of the 35 officers, only four, I believe, are black. Two in Maple Heights, Ohio, which is have similar demographics than Ferguson. That is also written about in this article. Critics point to the lack of racial balance in police departments of evidence of systemic racism, but experts say the experiences of the towns illustrate the obstacles in achieving diversity in law enforcement, even for departments that have made it a priority. So what do you do to bring to make that fairer and to make your police departments more diverse, especially in prominently in small towns that are in racially mixed?
So, look, this is a very difficult question. If you happen to be somebody of color, do you really want to work, you know, in a town where you know racism is paramount? Do you really want to do that? Or would you rather be in a department where, you know, you have a better shot? I think this is a very tough thing because we all know, right? We all know that it's very important that we have this, racial diversity. If you're policing a town that is largely black, you should have black policemen. It's that simple. On the other hand, as soon as you do that, there will be some, and how do you do it? Well, you change the scoring, you make it attractive, and then somebody sues you. And they say, and this has happened time and again.
Right.
The fire department guy sues you, and he says, "Oh no, you're not going to do that. You're taking it away." And the courts, especially these courts, are going to agree with you.
This report reminded me of the Kerner Commission report in the 80s and 90s, I believe, about journalism, saying that newspapers, that was the media at the time, was overwhelmingly white. Democratic institutions need to be diverse. We have to get people of color into our institutions, the press and the police departments.
So we can do better, right,
so,
Rosemary?
Yeah, I'm sure that we can do better. And maybe it isn't just rescoring the test. Maybe it's changing the admissions criteria to get other things in. Right, exactly. Aside from a test score. And it also means going out into the community, which should be done not just to recruit, but to make police more effective, to show that police are important, do have an important job, and should be serving all of the people.
All right, final. We may have time for two more. Let's. Apple made a big announcement yesterday.
I'm not getting one.
Why not? Which aren't you getting? The watch?
I totally
or the new
am
phone?
Getting it. I can't wait to
no,
get
I'm
it.
I'm not getting one. I have this little thing here.
What is it? The watch? Or is that what you want?
I want
watch?
Both. I want it all. I want the 6, the phone, and I want the watch.
I agree with you. So do I.
Well,
they've done it again.
That's because you guys know what you're doing. If you're me and you're 73 years old and you have, you know, mastered this thing, you're not going to get rid of
but
it.
But it's the same thing. It'll just do more stuff.
Well, that's why would I get it then if it's the same thing?
Because it's bigger.
Faster.
Bigger. This one puts
more capacity.
I know. That's the thing. Anything that's like over 5 inches, well, I think the biggest one is like 5-something.
Yeah, you also have a choice,
yeah,
by the way.
But I want it to be able to fit into my pocket. I don't want to be carrying around. I mean, I've got a little tablet, and I don't want to be carrying
exactly.
around something that big.
Exactly.
So I think
the
Apple's a genius company.
They're
leading the way
again.
Look at all of
they're
you. Leading
you're
the way again.
Falling for it.
Yep. No, I didn't say I was getting a new one. Yeah. I wouldn't mind the watch. I think the watch is interesting.
Okay, you know the three of us are going to have this watch by the
end. Yeah, well, maybe. But I
as soon as they become available, I do hate the way they pump you up and then you can't get hold of it.
Dick Tracy has finally arrived.
Well, I thought of that. Yeah,
it's
that's
absolutely
great.
True.
Now,
you can speak into your watch.
I want the Google glasses too.
No, I don't want the Google glasses.
Yeah, you tap
I've used
here.
Those. They're cool.
Oh, they what are. They
what do they do again?
Cool.
It's basically a computer in your head. So you wear your glasses and you have there's a little monitor right here and you would just look up and you see all the stuff.
It's a cure for senioritis. You know, you forget a name, you just go tap, tap on your glasses.
What you were saying, you can do that without having the computer. You just have to be in range.
Right. And I can't wait for all the doctors to talk about stigmatisms.
The ocular
problems.
Issues.
Yes.
The other cool thing in the Times article that I thought is really revolutionary, and forget about the technology, but is this idea of Apple Pay, where because of the security breaches, hello, Home Depot, now...
Hello, iCloud and Jennifer Lawrence's naked pictures.
Well, right, but this Apple Pay system would be, has your credit card information, and you wave your phone, and you pay for the...
The hackers are going to figure that one out?
It's still going to be hackable. I mean, come on. Still going to be hackable.
I believe everything is hackable.
You're putting all of your information in one place, and you're making it easier.
These guys are salivating over this whole thing.
No, these are... Finally, you have the smartest minds in the world trying to beat the hackers. It's a
and
great
I know
debate.
The smartest ones in the world. I think the hackers.
They developed a phone and a watch.
Okay, next.
Okay. Also, how is it? I don't think we have time for the next. But also, how is that any different than those little things that the credit card companies were giving us? The little wands that you just wave and they do it.
Yeah, it's all of it. We're at risk. Period.
Right.
Okay, we're just at risk. We're at risk.
All right, well, on that
just
pleasant...
go back to bartering.
We're wildebeest.
Don't use money at all, then you're safe.
right.
Philistines.
I'm going to go out into the fields and get some wheat.
Hunt and gather. That's it.
And the hackers are the leopards.
On those happy notes, we leave you this morning. thank you very much. Alan Jartok, Rosemary Arameo, Libby Post, thank you, and we'll talk tomorrow. The roundtable continues after this short break.